good to be with you this week. Looking forward to our time together. I know we're in a different location. I'm excited about what the future holds and what God's calling us to, and can't wait till we can all be together in this facility. Just also recognizing that God has such a call on us to reach the world. So I'm just going to encourage you to continue to do that and be a light wherever you are. And today's message is really just a continuation of the series Kingdom Culture, which is all about us recognizing God's call for us to pray. In Matthew chapter 6, you know it, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that's really what God's been speaking to me, that like we need to pray for an open heaven, that heaven comes down right here to our homes, our hearts, our city, our church, our region, our state. That's also why we're praying. You know, we did 3 days of prayer and fasting this week for that reason, praying that God does a work in our state, but it begins in our heart. And that's why I'm doing this series, because my prayer for you and my prayer for our church, for all of us, is that we recognize that the desire of God is for what's taken place in heaven to take place right here on earth. And I know that seems like a pipe dream, that seems like, oh, you're not even operating in realism. Well, guess what? The reality of this world is a spiritual one. And when we align with what God has called us to and we become what he knows that we are created to be spiritually, we begin to see the darkness of this world be vanquished, like it's pushed back, because we are walking in the light. 1 John, you should read that. It's John 8:12, where Jesus talks about him being the light. And so my heart for us is that we walk in the light, we walk in wholeness. God's been speaking to me about purity, about turning from sin. This isn't just a personal thing, though there's that aspect as well, to walk in purity, but it's for all of us. It's 2 Corinthians 11:3. It's Revelation chapter 2, where we're the church at Ephesus called to return to our first love, loving God with all of our heart, loving each other. And then mostly God's speaking to me out of the verse that he gave me over 13 years ago in planning the church, Isaiah 58:12, which is a blueprint for really what I know he's calling us to as a church. It says, "Those from among you," that's us, "those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You'll raise up the age-old foundations. You'll be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell." Those from among you, that means us. The church is us. The church isn't a pastor or a worship leader or a small group leader. The church is comprised of those who know and love God. They've surrendered their life to Christ and they follow him with all of their heart. And Jesus said that people will know that you're my follower. People know you're a Christian by the love that you have for one another. And so I just pray that you can stoke those embers of love that you have in frustration with the people around you in a very divided world where all you have to do is jump on social media and you see a lot more hate than you do love. Let's remember what God's called us to, because those from among us will rebuild the ancient ruins of people's lives. That's healing. Are you walking in healing? We'll raise up the age-old foundation. What foundation is that? The foundation of truth, that we're called to walk in healing. Excuse me. We're called to walk in truth. And that's spiritual growth, because the spiritual growth is simply the process of replacing lies with the truth. And that's what we talked about the last 2 weeks, of what it looks like to walk in healing, what it looks like in God's kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, the broken places of people's lives made whole, brought to healing, that the raising up the age-old foundation, that we're walking in truth and we're engaging in the process of replacing lies with the truth of God's word in our life. But today, I want to talk to you about the third portion of Isaiah 58:12 that says, "You'll be called the repairer of the breach." And so if we look at the original language in Hebrew, that we recognize that that term breach, it's really like a levee with a hole in it. And I think this is a picture of us, of who we are as followers of Jesus, because we are called to live full of God's Spirit. That means we have to empty ourselves of ourselves and allow God to fill us up with his presence, with his power, his leading. My life verse, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path." And so when I do that, when I say, Lord, I'm going to trust you, I'm not going to try and figure it out myself, I'm dumping out my will, my way. I'm going to follow you, trust you, acknowledge you. He directs our path. But here's what I found. Even though we can empty ourselves of ourselves and fill ourselves with the presence and power of God, the enemy comes to poke holes in our soul. It's a breach that he pokes, pop, and we leak. So how do we get to the place where we're continually walking in the fullness that God has for us by his Spirit? We're called to be those from among you will be the repairer of the breach. In other words, we recognize that we leak and we need to be full of God's Spirit, and we allow God and his people to patch us up. What does that look like? How do we do that? And so that's what we're going to jump into today. And it's once again out of the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, which in the Hebrew Bible was just one book called Ezra that really told the story of Ezra, who came back after 70 years of captivity to the land of Israel. They had been sent into captivity by the Babylonians, who conquered the whole land, devastated all of Israel, destroyed Jerusalem. There was not one stone on top of another, destroyed the temple, destroyed the walls. And Ezra is called back by God to rebuild the temple and lay the foundation again. And then about 15 years later, Nehemiah hears about the brokenness of Jerusalem, and he's once again in captivity. And God makes a way for him to come back and rebuild the city walls. Those from among you will be the repairer of the breach. And I think in the story of these men's lives, we see how to walk in healing. We see how to walk in the fullness of God, how to relay that spiritual foundation. So what are we going to look at? And so this is what I want us to know, that the tactic of the enemy is always to destroy the work of God in our lives. See, Ezra and Nehemiah were going back to a devastated land, but it was the place that God said he would bless. He had a purpose, he had a vision for Israel and specifically for Jerusalem. And Ezra and Nehemiah go back with the same heart to rebuild the broken places, to raise up that foundation, repair everything so that people could have a place that was ordained by God to live. This applies to us today. That's why Isaiah 58:12 is so, so pertinent for us as believers. But the book of Ezra and Nehemiah are so powerful in our lives, because the tactic of the enemy is to poke holes in our soul so that what God has built is completely destroyed, because we have walked empty of his word, his will, his way, his power in our life, and we've lived by our own. So how do we deal with that? Well, first, let's look at how the enemy operates, because Ezra goes back to rebuild the temple. Nehemiah goes back to rebuild the city walls to be a protection for the place that people can live in the city of Jerusalem. And so we get to see, I really believe, how the enemy operates in bringing destruction into our lives. You ready? Here it is, Ezra. I'm going to turn there now. Ezra chapter 4. I see I'm going to turn there now. I am turning there now. In Ezra chapter 4, here's what we see as Ezra begins to rebuild the temple. It says, the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were rebuilding a temple to the Lord, the God of Israel. So they approached Zerubbabel, who was the one really rebuilding everything, and the other leaders. So let's just stop right there for a moment. The enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that they were rebuilding the temple. Let me just say, when you purpose to build the temple of God, the place of God, the power of God in your life, because you are ridding yourself of you, and you are saying, God, I'm building a place for your presence and power in my life, there will always be an enemy. It is the enemy. It is Satan that comes against you. Maybe not Satan himself, but there is a broken, sinful, cursed world, and there is a spiritual realm where we see angels and demons, and the tactic of the enemy is always to destroy God's work and keep you from building it. The enemies show up. So they approached Zerubbabel and the other leaders and said, the enemies said, let us build with you. Let us build with you, for we worship your God just as you do. Let me just say that the devil doesn't show up in your life with a pitchfork and a pointy tail and say, ha, 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 I want to destroy everything that you have. Let me come and do that. No, he wants to be right there with you. Oh yeah, you want to build the place of God? Just let me in just a little bit. There is such a deceptive nature of how the enemy operates that he says he wants to build with them. And he says, for we have sacrificed to him ever since King Esharon of Assyria brought us here. So they're exiles themselves, but they're not the people of God. And they say, we want to build with you. And look at Zerubbabel and Yeshua's response. It says, but Zerubbabel, Yeshua, and the other leaders of Israel replied, you may have no part in the work. We alone will build the temple for the Lord. Verse 4. Then the local residents, look at how the enemy operates, tried to discourage and frighten the people of Judah to keep them from their work. They bribed agents to work against them and to frustrate their plans. This is how the enemy operates. He discourages. He brings fear. He frightens. He manipulates. He bribes. He will do whatever he can to keep you from building the place of God in your life. And he's poking holes, holes of fear, holes of discouragement, holes of manipulation, bribing, like, oh, wow, this looks really good. This is how he operates. And then in Nehemiah chapter 4, we see the same thing with Nehemiah rebuilding the walls. Sanballat is an enemy, and it says, Sanballat was very angry when he learned that we were rebuilding the wall. This is Nehemiah writing. He flew into a rage, and he mocked the Jews, saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan officers, what does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they're doing? Do they think they can build a wall in a single day just by offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think they can make something of stones out of this rubbish heap? And charred ones at that. Tobiah the Ammonite, who was standing beside him, remarked, that stone wall would collapse even if a fox walked on top of it. The enemy's tactic is to make us feel like we are no good, like we can't do it, that he sows seeds of fear in our life, discouragement, insecurity, to keep us from building the place of God. That's how he operates. That is his tactic and plan. Seldom does he show up in this huge demonic horde like you might see in a movie where there's like, it doesn't work that way. The enemy operates very stealthily. Hey, I just want to come alongside you. And then when we say, no, I've got to build this, and I've got to hear from God, like y'all just need to get away. Then he comes to discourage, to bring fear. He tempts us with bribes, like, oh, doesn't this look nice? To keep us in the place of brokenness and our sin. We have to purpose to build the place of God. How do we, like we're called, those from among you will be the repairer of the breach. It begins with us. When we recognize the enemy pokes holes in our heart, mind, soul, and spirit, so that we get discouraged. We become afraid. We become insecure because we feel like people are making fun of us, or like we've done something wrong, or like maybe I can't do this. Maybe I can't build the place of God. That is the tactic of the enemy. So how do we repair that? How do we actually get to the place where we are walking in the fullness of God so that we can build the place that he has for us? Well, the wonderful thing is it doesn't, in Ezra and Nehemiah, just expose the tactics of the enemy. It gives us the plan for how we can build what God's called us to. So let's look at chapter 4 right after the enemies have sowed seeds of discouragement, fear, bribery, and then making fun, those insecurity. You can't do this. Look at, did you say you're building the place of God? It's pathetic. And then Nehemiah says this in chapter 4, verse 4. He says, then I prayed, hear us, O God, we're being mocked. May their scoffing fall back on their own heads, and may they themselves become captives in a foreign land. What did Nehemiah do that is a blueprint for all of us in building the place of God and repairing that breach, that hole of, you can't do this, you're no good, who do you think you are? Boop, the enemy comes and pokes a hole in your soul like that levee with a breach. Then I prayed. God hears your prayers. Let me just say, you should be in the Bible. I pray that you are. You want to grow an understanding of who God is and what he has for you, read his word. But you want God to move on your behalf? You want God to destroy the enemy around you? Let me tell you, that comes through prayer, you petitioning, you asking. You need to be, we need to be people. I need to be a person of prayer that purposes to pray. And James chapter 5 says this, are any of you suffering hardships? Yeah. You should pray. Oh, okay. I should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. And let me tell you what I found. When you're not happy and you're discouraged, this is just a simple principle. When you are lacking what you know that you need, when you begin to give that away to other people, God fills you up with that very thing that you're lacking. So if you're discouraged and you're down, sing some praises. Tell somebody how awesome they are. If you feel like nobody's loving on you, you love on somebody else, because there's a spiritual principle of sowing and reaping. And when you sow those seeds, you get them back. Is any of you suffering? Pray. If you're happy, sing praises. Or any of you sick, you should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Listen to this. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. Then it says this in verse 16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. If we're in hardship, if we know that like the enemy's come to like poke us and like there's a breach in the levee of our soul, pray. Sing praises. And have somebody pray for you and with you. It's powerful. How do we build the place of God? The foundation is laid in prayer. I want you to know God's purpose and plan for you. That's why this word is so foundationally important. But if you just read and you don't pray, man, you're understanding who God is, but you're failing to see him truly move because you're not asking him. Jesus said, ask, I'm going to answer. Knock on the door, I'm going to open it. Just be persistent. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. The next thing, the next key that we see in Ezra and Nehemiah, and you know, the tactic of the enemy is to destroy, bring discouragement, fear, intimidation, doubt, temptation, all of those things to keep us from building the place of God and really to destroy the place that's already been built. But the way that we continue to build, like God's work is built in us, that place for his presence and his power, and like the symbolic temple in our own heart and soul, and the place that he has for us, symbolic in the walls that Nehemiah was building around the place that God had for his people, begins with prayer. But here's the second thing. And the second thing is seen in Ezra chapter 5. And the second thing is prophecy. This is something you don't always hear. You don't hear all the time, like, if I'm going to rebuild the place of God, I need to engage in prayer. Yeah, but like, what do you mean? Like, what does it mean? What do you mean prophesy? Like, to embrace the prophetic words that have been spoken over you. And you may say, well, nobody's ever done that for me. This word is alive. Hebrews 4:12. It's sharp. It's active. What is God speaking to you? Believe that more than the circumstances around you. In Ezra chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, so here's what happens. It says in chapter 4, you know, they bribed the agents to work against them to frustrate their plans. They actually wrote a letter to the person in charge, to Xerxes, the king, and the work was stopped. The work stopped. They stopped working. The enemy won temporarily. And here's the thing. If you've served God for any time, you walking with Jesus long enough, this is what you're going to find. At some point, the work in your life is probably going to stop. Not because God wants it to, but because we give in to the enemy. And the enemy seems to have won. But let me just remind you that it's just temporary. And they stopped working because they were threatened. Like, don't build that wall. And there was an authority. Let me just tell you, the enemy always tries to exert his authority in your life to make it bigger than God's authority. And they stop working. And in fact, in verse 24 of chapter 4, it says, so the work of the temple of God in Jerusalem stopped, and it remained at a standstill until the second year of King Darius of Persia. Then chapter 5. At that time, the prophets, and a prophet in the Old Testament spoke with the word of God in their mouth, like it was God speaking. It says, at that time, the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, son of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem. They prophesied in the name of God of Israel, who was over them. And Zerubbabel, remember, Ezra came back as the priest to rebuild the temple of God, but Zerubbabel was the foreman. He was the guy that was getting everybody to work. Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Yeshua, son of Jehozadak, responded by starting again to rebuild the temple of God and Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them and helped them. You want to build the place of God in your life? You want to repair that breach in your life and in other people? You have to pray, but you also have to embrace the prophetic word that's been spoken to you. What scripture has God given you? For me, it's Isaiah 58:12 for ministry. That those from among you will rebuild those ruins. They're going to raise up the foundations, repair those breaches, and restore the place, the streets for people to dwell, because God's got a place for all of us. He wants for us to walk in wholeness, full of His Spirit, that we're growing, replacing lies with the truth, that there's no brokenness in us because we're people who are healed. See, that's what God's called us to. That's a prophetic word that God has given me. But He's also given you something. What is it? What is it? How do you build those places? How do you keep from leaking out of yourself? You pray. You pray and you seek God and ask Him to bring healing and wholeness and patch those areas where you leak. You pray for other people so that that same thing can happen for them. But you believe the prophetic word that God speaks to you. I know that sounds like maybe if you've not heard that kind of churchy and odd, but there are scriptures that just resonate with you. What was the prophetic word? The first time I heard God speak, didn't in my message, so I'm just going to have to look this up, and it may take me a second. And it was in a different translation, but it was out of Galatians. I was a 14-year-old kid and I was reading the Bible because I knew I was supposed to. My youth pastor told me I should. My parents told me I should. So I'm reading the Bible. I'm like, oh, I don't want to read the Bible. And it leapt out to me. It says, Galatians 1:10, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. And it smacked me upside the head. It was a prophetic word. God spoke to me out of His word, and it stuck in my heart. And it was convicting because it reminded me that maybe I was trying to please people. And it called me. It was conviction because I didn't feel bad. Like I was convicted, like, but I didn't feel discouraged. I didn't feel like I was giving up or like scared or I couldn't do it. There was this strength that came with it that was like, yeah, that's you. But when you follow me, you can do everything. You need that. You want to build the place of God in your life? Prayer, prophecy. And in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14, Nehemiah stands up after the enemies had tried to discourage him. And he says, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious. And fight for your brothers and your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. And that was a prophetic word for the people because it encouraged them. It was a conviction like, hey, don't let the enemy win. I know you just got your soul all poked up and now you're scared and you don't think you can do it. And they made fun of you because they said that what you're doing isn't making a difference and it's no good and it's a waste of time. But I want you to remember that God's for you and we're gonna win this fight and we're gonna build what God's called us to build. That's a prophetic word. And listen to me right now. For some of you, that word that I just spoke is for you prophetically. How do we build that place? Prayer. Prophetic word. What is God speaking to you? Man, there have been times that people have spoken something to me. It was just confirmation of what God wanted to do. And I held on to that so that I could be at a place of wholeness and healing because that's what He's called us to. And then here's the last thing. In Ezra chapter 6, verse 14, it says this. They'd been to prayer. They'd had the prophetic word. In fact, the prophets were working with them. It says, so the Jewish elders continued their work, and they were greatly encouraged by the preaching of the prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, son of Iddo. And the temple was finally finished, as it had been commanded by the God of Israel and the decree of Caesar, Darius, and Artaxerxes, the kings of Persia. You want to see the work of God built in your life? Prayer, prophetic words, and at the end of the day, it's persistence. It's persistence. You got to keep going. In Nehemiah, in chapter 6, the enemy comes back again. And Nehemiah says this. It's so good. He says, they're telling him, hey, we want to meet with you, because the enemy's always going to want to meet with you. This was after Nehemiah's word of like, remember, God's with us, build the place. The enemy shows back up and he says, hey, we want to meet with you. And he kept sending these messages. I want to meet with you. I want to meet with you. And he says, I replied by sending this message to them. I am engaged in a great work, so I can't come. You're engaged in a great work. Building the life and the place that God has for you, but also for the people around you. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Seek God in prayer. Hold on to those prophetic words that you've been given and be persistent. Keep going. That's it. Keep going. Prayer, holding on to those words that God's spoken to you prophetically, and persistence. Nehemiah, you know, Ezra and his team, and with Zerubbabel, they laid the foundation for the temple. They began the process and they ultimately rebuilt the temple. And Nehemiah and his crew, they rebuilt the walls. And they had to do it. And it says that they did it with one hand working, carrying their load and building the wall, and the other hand had a weapon in it. Because you never can give up the fight. There's always a fight. But listen to me. As you stay in prayer, as you remember the prophetic words, as you are persistent and you don't give up, you're going to win the fight. God's with us. I hope this was for you. I know it was for me. And maybe the prayer that you need to pray is a prayer of repentance. It says, God, I've been doing things my way. I'm doing them yours. Maybe you need to surrender your life to Jesus. That prayer is so simple. It's just a prayer of absolute sincerity. Jesus, I give you my all, my good, especially my bad, my sins, and I turn to you. My life's yours. I pray you do that. If God's moving on your heart, let us know. You can click the link at the bottom of this. You can contact us on Facebook Messenger, on our website. Let us know. Because God's called us to build a place for him, not just in our own hearts, but in our own lives together, because we're better together, and in our community. Love you guys. God bless. I look forward to seeing y'all really soon. Stay strong. Stay persistent. God bless. Bye.